Okay. I have the privilege and honor to introduce the two speakers today. My name is Gretchen Graham, and I do the tiny little fraction of driving some people to doctor's appointments or from the train station. I help Najib Arsalan and Vicky, I'm embarrassed to say, I don't remember her last name. We could look at the bios on the back, Ted Berger and Gia Gulistani. Ted Berger is a co-founder of Open Arms for Refugees. He is the lead coordinator of roughly 100 Open Arms volunteers who welcomed and helped to resettle 11 households and 35 persons to America since January 2022. Open Arms helps these new neighbors find food and shelter, health care, education, and ESL classes, jobs, and community. While most households resettle have been Afghan, two families are from Colombia and one is from Ukraine. So my new friend Vicky is one of the ones from Colombia. Zia Gulistani is the operations director for Afghanistan and Pakistan with Too Young to Wed, which seeks to protect young girls from child marriage. When Kabul fell, Zia stayed to secretly maintain a network of safe houses for Afghan women hiding from the Taliban. Once discovered by the Taliban, he and his family of five fled to Pakistan. Open Arms welcomed the family at JFK in June 2023, the ninth household that Open Arms has helped resettle. So Josh helped prepare the PowerPoint slide that you have for us, and just click the space bar, right? Okay, thank you. This is Ted Berger.
Thank you all very much for letting us come and talk to you. I'm going to introduce Zia in a minute. I just want to say I was born, or not born, but I was as a child a Unitarian. And I'm a little teary-eyed. That's one because I'm a crier, as you can see already, I'm crying. The hymn, This Is My Song, was one of my favorites. And I'm not having an emotional breakdown. I just, from age 30, when I couldn't read The Highwaymen to my children because I knew how it was going to end, I've just sort of decided that I'm an adult male who cries, so just bear with me, okay? So, but I do thank you for the lovely service. I think, especially Gretchen, if I can stop one heart from aching, so beautifully chosen, so thank you. And I want to thank Carol for her also being a wonderful volunteer for Open Arms. They've both done so much. And it's not just the work they do, but it's the friendship they provide to these families. So I'm not going to talk too much about Open Arms because Gretchen gave a wonderful introduction. So thank you very much. We gave out some materials about it. What I do want to do is to give you a sense of our work, not by talking about what we do, which is kind of simple, you know? People have left their homes, they come with very little, and we all have the image of the refugee trudging across the desert and they have nothing on them, and this is an accurate image, but it's such an incomplete image of the marvelous people who we get to work with. So when they come here, we give them shelter and food, and we help them get health care, and we help them get education, English classes. We help them move forward with jobs, because jobs are such an important part of reestablishing your sense of self, not just having some income, but supporting your family and the routine of work. Those are so important to kind of reestablishing yourself. And then also a sense of community, and we're going to talk about that at the end, this idea that we want the people who we help come to the United States and settle in the United States, to be connected to the communities they want to be connected to. You will have seen in the film, in the slides, some pictures of groups of people together. Those are Afghans with Afghans, Muslims with Muslims, and they're also those same people within our community celebrating with us, because we want people to have friends in all the communities that exist here. So what I want to do very briefly is I'm just going to talk about some of the people you saw in the slides. So the first person we resettled was Freshta, who was a women's rights advocate in Afghanistan. In college, the bus of her group was blown up on a trip to explain rights to Afghan women. She went back to college, got her degree in the law, and went back working for women's rights. Sorry, I choke up again. Nabila's father, who we went to a baby shower yesterday, Zia's family was there for Nabila, and she is expecting a baby next month.
Would you like us to see just photos?
Yeah, you know, if you can slide through the photos, or I can slide through the photos, that could be good. I'm not sure how I move it. Is a clicker to move it forward here? Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, this is those arrows. Okay. Okay. So, this is Freshta arriving from the airport in our car. Lovely young woman. Is there a pause button here? Okay. So, I'm not sure I can do this very well, but okay. So this is the Asprija family. This is the Eco family, which is a family from Colombia. Sandra left Colombia because the local gangs were taking a keen interest in her two young sons. She is a wonderful mom, and the two boys make me feel guilty. I wish I was as nice to my mom growing up as they are to theirs. So, I'm sure I can make this move forward. Yeah. This is Masima. She was an electrical engineer in Afghanistan. Her job was to tell the Afghan contractors that they hadn't done the job right and they had to fix it. So just imagine in that society a 34-year-old petite woman doing that job. She's tough as nails. I'm sorry.
No, it's just okay. We have it as
it's on a slide. It's on a roll.
Yeah. Hold on.
I'm going to show you in a minute the Lukanov family from Ukraine. They are actually, I think this week, celebrating their one-year anniversary, flying here from Mariupol, which obviously was devastated in Ukraine. We're very happy to have them here. Vicky Asprija, we'll show her picture in a minute, Gretchen has helped. She and her family of six left Colombia when those sand gangs were showing keen interest in their sons. Let me just bring her up then. So I can just do next and... No, it's not moving. Sorry. It's just not. It may be resetting the 8 seconds.
I'll go back. You tell me to advance, so.
Okay, so keep going. This is the Lukanoff family right there. This is the Asprija family. I'm sorry, this is, yes, that's the Asprija family. So you can see the lovely young ladies. So in addition to being interested in their teen boys, the gangs were interested in the teen girls. So they came to the United States. Nazdana, let me take another one forward. This is the father in the Asprija family, one more. Nazdana, who is the person on our left, was a member of the U.S.-trained female tactical platoon. When civilians said there were only women and children present in a house, the men could not go to investigate the house, so they sent in the women. Sometimes the Taliban lied, but she is also just a marvelously sweet and wonderful young woman, but also very strong. Nazir, and in fact, to click one more, I'm going to show you another picture, one more. Okay, so this is Deba and her new baby, born in the United States, our first U.S. citizen. So that's wonderful. Next picture. And keep going till we get to, okay, so this is Zia, and you can see Nabila and his three wonderful kids. You heard the story from Gretchen, so I'm going to leave it with that. And I'm going to let Zia tell you more about his work, both in Afghanistan and here. But it's my great pleasure to introduce my very good friend, Zia Gulistani.
It's okay.
Sort of just like a skip face there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to bring that slide up?
No need for slides. It's okay. Just put the slide up. Hello, everybody. I'm very happy to today. I'm in this location, and thanks for inviting Mr. Ted me to here. Sorry, my English is not too good. Just I try to be. Good. What I'm telling, I write in the paper, just I'm reading. And my name is Zia, has introduced. I'm an Afghan, and I have my bachelor's degree in international relations, IR. We came to United States just on 6th June. Right now, I live with my family in Mahopac. Me, my wife, with three kids. I had my own business and contractor before the collapse of Afghanistan. From 2005 up to 2013, I was in charge to managing fuel supply and transportation material for U.S. Army. When the U.S. Army was in Afghanistan, we just support to transportation materials from Kabul to different provinces of Afghanistan and provide them also fuel for U.S. bases. From 2014 until the fall of the country, I was president of a logistic company. That's Ferdows Gulistan Logistic Company that I had my own job, and it was very fantastic on that time when I import some construction materials from China to Afghanistan and send it to many provinces of Afghanistan. We had a good life with my family in Kabul. We are alive. When the Taliban imposed restriction and banned the girls from going to school and prevented women from going to work, I could not remain passive. I would not let this be future of my wife and my children. I was happy that I could volunteer for a NGO. That is Too Young to Wait. One of my friends joined Too Young to Wait on 2021. When the Taliban came and he requested me to would you like to be a volunteer with Too Young to Wait? I accepted that time. Just Ted has a question here. I have already your question that the Taliban has taken control of Afghanistan. What happened on January? I have a story on January, what happened. It was 2 p.m. on January 2022 that I received an urgent request from Tuyong Tuet that some ladies are followed by Taliban and because numerous of family protesters who were fearing serious persecuting from the Taliban and fled their residence. By the midnight, I remember that it was around maybe 12 o'clock that me and my team went out from house to find some safe housing for the girls and women who are just try to find some safe house because Taliban followed them. By midnight, my team and I were able to find some houses. And on that night, around 38 women with their family, and that was in high risk, I found safe houses and they transported to those houses. And it was very risky night. As I remember, it was very risky night. You know that Taliban is really dangerous, especially for the protesters, women. I clearly know that the Taliban is bad toward those women to support them, but it was I'm proud now that I support those girls and women, and they are now safe. Most of them are now in European. When they came to Pakistan, they moved to European countries, as I know right now. A new protester who were in our housing decided to leave our safe house on that time. And angels promised that they will get a flight, a charter flight, and send them to out of the country. But unfortunately, Taliban catch them around 12 girls in one night. And it was... it was around 3 o'clock that I got a call from one of my colleagues that please go somewhere because I heard your voice. I heard your voice that Taliban leak in media. He sent me a video that it was around 13 minutes that my voice was leaked by Taliban, that I spoke with the protesters to find them and plan them where they should go and what they should do. That was my voice. My voice that Taliban leak in media. And it was really dangerous on that time. Later on, the Ministry of Interior, it was from Ministry of Interior that they like my voice. I changed my phone number and hidden location, and I was lucky that I wasn't caught when my office and my house was searched by Taliban. I have a lot of photos from my house, from my office, that the Taliban came and searched all my documents, that they are going to find something, but they couldn't. And on that time, me and my family was very lucky that we moved to Pakistan. And also there is another question from Ted that tell us about how you started to work to Young Tuet. As I said before, one of my friends joined Too Young to Wait on 2021. And when I went to Pakistan with my family, I joined Too Young to Wait as a operation and finance manager for Afghanistan and Pakistan. It was on March 2022. 15 March 2022. Still now, I'm working with Too Young to Wait. But when I was in Pakistan, I also supported Afghan women in Pakistan. The woman that they moved from Afghanistan to Pakistan, Too Young to Wait provided safe houses for them and food supply. I was in charge that I do all of those works. When I was in Pakistan, I applied for SIV visa program. SIV visa program is for those people who are work for U.S. Army in Afghanistan. I was supplied fuel and transportation. Me and my family was eligible to get the SIV visa. I had a interview on 2022, and I got the visa from Embassy of U.S. in Islamabad, Pakistan, and I moved to United States. It was 6 June that on the first time Mr. Ted came to airport, and it was a lucky day that I saw Mr. Ted, because I know Mr. Ted is a great person. He always helped my family. I know other Afghan family, but he came to welcome us in airport. Before I came to United States, Stephanie Sinclair, founder of Too Young to Wait, introduced me to Open Arm. And before I came to United States, Open Arm and a group of Open Arm and me have a Zoom call, as I remember, on that time that Mr. Ted asked me, when you came to United States, what do you want, what do you need? But when I arrived here with my family, everything was prepared. House, everything was okay with me. Just I didn't need anything more, small things, because everything was ready. And thank you so much for that, Mr. Ted. For 2 months, when I was going to work and I didn't have any car, any license, Open Arms helped us a lot. Pick up me to office, drop me to home. It's all in 2 months, the Open Arms did this a lot. And also, they help us for school, my kids' school, insurance, healthcare, and they did a lot. And one other question, please tell everyone about Wiki. Vicky is very nice. She helped my kids like a mother. I remember when we came to United States, every day she called me or texted me for any need. Especially she asked me what your kids needed. And sometimes she came direct to my house and helped my kids directly. And still, they're continuing, they're helping my kids. And also one other lady, Eileen. Eileen is a good teacher and a Katniss mom. It is now 6 months that we arrive, but Eileen and other volunteers coming to teach my daughter, my wife, and my kids. And Janice with his husband, Jerry, they help us a lot with healthcare. And tomorrow my my younger daughter have teeth problems, teeth issues. Tomorrow Janice and Jerry will go with me to the White Plains to treatment my teeth daughter. I will never forget their kindness and their help to my family. They help us a lot, and I am really thanks for Open Arms, all groups, especially TED. Thank you so much.
We'll crowd around this a little bit. Okay. But we want to give people a chance to ask any questions you may have, and anything you'd like to know about Open Arms or Zia's work or Afghanistan, please. Good, because people can hear you online. We can repeat the question if you want us to.
Thank you. Was it that? I don't know.
That's great. Thank you.
Anyhow, thank you very much. Question for Ted. Where does the funding come from for Open Arms, and how many families are you capable of helping financially? And for Gia, in your culture, what is too young to wed?
Okay.
What age?
So I'll go first. Thank you, Jim. The question was, how are we funded? And we are funded entirely by donations from the public. One of the great strengths we were able to start with is we reached out to 18 houses of worship that we knew. They signed on to become supporting organizations, which means that they support our mission. They are willing to have us inform their congregation of our news and needs, what's new, a new person is coming. We need a bedroom set for them. We need a job because we have a civil engineer who needs work. The third thing is that they commit to introduce us to their social justice committees or whoever might make donations. We don't require the groups to make donations, just to introduce us. And that's been actually our primary source of funding, with the addition that because we had so much community support, the David Swope Fund, which is David Swope was a very treasured individual, passed away in Upper Westchester, and he gave us a $250,000 matching grant. So all of the money that came in was matched times two, and that's really funded all of our work.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry.
Thank you so much for your question. In my country, the girls can't marry under the age of 18. But as we are poor people in our country, some of them are going to sell their daughter because of the money. But in our law, in our country, under 18 is not able to marry. Yeah.
Zia, perhaps you would just briefly explain what you are doing in Afghanistan now to reduce the pressure on women to get married at age 13.
My computer is either I have a lot of photo now that we support families in Afghanistan, especially in three provinces, that's Herat, Ghor, and Badghis. And the people of those provinces are very poor, and we have lots of family that we prepare monthly food for them, and also send them money for their house rent. We support them monthly because they are not going to sell their daughters. Yeah.
But I think that gives you a sense of what life is like in Afghanistan now, as well as the great work that Too Young to Wed is still doing.
Yeah, we have around 50 families now that we are supporting because of the their marriage, and we have around 1,800 girls that we support them to go to school. We pay them we have some funds for them to have online education in their home, because Taliban not allowed the girls go to school, and we support them around more than 1,800 that they are going to learn online school.
Carol.
I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. One, I thought I heard you say for Too Young to Wed under 18, but then Ted, I thought I heard you say under 13, so I'm not clear.
Well, the 13 and 14-year-olds are pressured, well, that's confirmed, but my understanding is they are pressured to get married that young. Is that correct, Zia?
Yes.
Okay. I see. And the other thing, kind of just said it, that they, the girls in Afghanistan are not allowed to go to school is at all, or only up to a certain age?
Just they are going to sixth class.
Sixth grade.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And did you also say that women are not allowed to work?
Yes, there is no any lady going to work. Not allowed. Yeah.
Right. Thank you, and thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome.
Hi. I guess I'm embarrassed again because I forgot to light a candle for my father, Carl Grimm, and his girlfriend, Cornelia Cotton, who both earned Senior Citizen Hall of Fame Awards on Friday afternoon for lunch. And Dana Levenberg sat at our table. And I told her that I was going to do this presentation today. And she said she helped co-found it. So I'm looking at the website to make sure I'm not too flustered, you know, because remember her name. So if you can talk about her role in this.
Sure.
Appreciate it, and her office in Westchester County.
Sure. There are really three co-founders of Open Arms for Refugees. The first was Sophia Bator, who was Fresh's cousin, and single-handedly brought her to the United States. The second is Dana Levenberg, who was our town supervisor. Dana wanted to help welcome Freshta to her town. So she had this idea, why don't we set up a group? I went to a picnic for refugees in Saxon Park in Westchester County. I met a bunch of refugees and said, gee, I think I could help. I'm pretty good at organizing people. Through that, I met Dana and Sophia, and we decided to start the organization. But when we looked at how much work it was, well, you see this, Gretchen, you see this, Carol. There's so many pieces you have to do. If we were going to figure out how to do that for one person, we were going to figure out how to do it for more than one. The agencies we worked with said, Ted, do one, wait 6 months, see how you feel, do a second, see how you feel, maybe you do a third, but yeah, that's kind of what people do. And so we said that was what we were going to do. That seemed smart. But within 30 days of resettling Freshta, Basir and Nabila, whose baby shower at, showed up in Westchester and they needed help. So we said yes. And we've ended up, as you said we've resettled 11, actually now 12 households in Westchester County. Many of these people moved to other places. None of that would happen without Dana. She was instrumental not only in starting us, but getting us connections to people. When we need something, she is always there. So today, starting yesterday through Tuesday, there is a 19-year-old woman who is staying in Dana's house because she has no place to go.
I'm David. Ted, is this primarily active in Westchester or other counties or areas as well?
Yes. So we started in Austin. We were Austin for refugees because we couldn't think of a better name. But we were actually started with four different towns that were part of the group. And everybody just said, well, don't worry about the name. Let's get to work. We got things to do. We changed our name to Open Arms for Refugees because we had already settled family. Basir and Nabil live up in Cold Spring. You're up in Mayopac. So we serve all of that area. There are organizations like ours throughout Westchester that we partner with. And in fact, we're working with them now. We have developed a program through a good friend of Zia's named Najib, who was actually in the shelter system when we met him in September. You'll see him on the little list of the handout. We don't usually help people in seeking asylum simply because the rules are different. We don't understand those rules. But when we met Najib, we said, we have to help you. We brought him up. He's staying in Mary Knoll now. But he has helped us connect with the Afghan refugees who are in the asylum system in New York City. And we've developed a program not just to bring, where Najib is up here currently, but he is helping us, and we've now contacted 17 Afghan families who we are trying to bring up. We have four families coming up probably in the next month, going to other organizations like ours that we've introduced to the program. We've developed funding that works through the state. We're partnering with Neighbors Link to do that. So it kind of keeps building. We find that working with these other partners just expands our capacity, but we're also able to create programs that work for everybody.
Thank you. And for both of you, I'm curious, especially for Zia, how are you able to work still in Afghanistan despite or through the Taliban, you know, infrastructure or whatever they, you know, whatever they have. Are they pretty much unaware of what you're doing there? Or, you know, are they a go-between in any shape or form? I'm just kind of curious.
Thank you so much for the question. I do the accountant and finance. I am not a direct contact with the people, the girl and the woman there in Afghanistan. We have our colleagues in Afghanistan that they are doing their works. I just support them financially from here.
Thank you. Yeah. Understood. What is your native language? I'm sorry.
Farsi, Persian.
Farsi, Persian. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure. Thank you.
I'm Sharon. Thank you very much it's very informative. And I wanted to just ask, are Open Arms you can donate to, and also Too Young to Wed you can donate to?
Yes, both are 501c3 organizations. Okay. You can donate to both.
And you can find them online?
Yes.
Okay. And also, I was just wondering, how do you get housing how do you find housing?
So as with each part of this, we have a team that's focused on it. So we have a housing team that monitors the housing markets. Our team actually does that now over in the Harriman area, in Westchester, in Putnam. We work with one of the other groups and do it in the Mount Kisco area. There are other groups who look further south. So we're always looking for housing, but we then try to also develop relationships with the landlords, because if the landlords have confidence in us, then they will rent to the people that we bring in. I will say, these are exceptional tenants. These are people who are very much concerned about how do they move their life forward. They don't want to get in any trouble. They keep their apartments neat. They're all very dedicated to work. I've never seen people who are so eager to work. So they are marvelous tenants. But then Open Arms stands behind the lease and says, we'll make sure that the rent gets paid. And Frank, if you have any problem with the tenant, you call us and we'll fix it. We actually never really have to, but that builds confidence in the landlords. So then we have landlords who come to us and say, hey, Ted, I have an apartment. And that's really how, again, it's a building process.
Thank you.
So thank you all very much for your time and attention. And I do hope you will consider becoming a supporting organization. I think you already meet all the requirements. So, but we would love to put you on our website. And as I was saying to someone earlier, doing that helps us show the new families when they come to us and when they look at us on the website to know that this community supports them, and that there are people who care for them and want them to be here. So it really is a very big help to us and to the families we support. I also just going to go back to that very wonderfully chosen hymn, Gretchen, If I Can Stop One Heart From Aching. We resettle one family at a time. And so we are very grateful for the opportunity to do that. I think both of our volunteers would say, it brings great joy to you every day when you, it can be a little thing, it can be helping with an English class, it can be helping with a ride. You were talking about the rides you've got, that's what Gretchen is doing. But you can see how absolutely essential that is for them to be able to reestablish their lives. So I thank you all.
Thank you so much, all. I just have a question from Ted. I forgot. Ted asked that it must have been very hard for you and your family to leave Afghanistan and come to America. What was its hardest about? I love my country. Everybody love their country. The hardest moment is to leave your country. We left the place that we born and grew up there. I am the oldest son of my family. In Afghanistan, the oldest son responsible for family to help mom, dad, and all the people in the family. But I left my mom, my dad, and all my life that I built in many years. Thank you so much.